Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Joe DiBiase from WGR, host of Locked On Sabres, is with us in studio this morning. Don Granato fired yesterday. What did you think of Kevin Adams' tone?
I thought he hit every note he needed to hit. The tone was anger that we're at this point, that they missed the playoffs for a 13th year in a row, and I think he was direct, I think, with the fan base. He was willing to call out the players in general to the right level, not individuals. So I think he sounded like someone that is not just going to sit in his hands, go with the status quo into next season. I think he sounded like he is going to do everything he needs to fix this offseason.
They needed that, didn't they? I mean, you're talking to fans every day. Yesterday, I think, was a big day for this, because throughout the season, I think a lot of Sabres fans are watching the team and wondering, you know, they're looking up to the press box, wherever Kevin Adams is, and are you guys seeing this? You know, like, that was kind of the, like, are another slow start. Are you seeing this? Like, what's going on? Are we going to do something here? What's the plan? And I think yesterday we got the answer. They are seeing what we're seeing.
There's a lifelessness in the fan base right now. So you need any little thing to get re-engaged. And I think the idea that they could just, hey, we'll just run it back. We'll bring Granato back. As much as Granato did some nice things, we'll bring him back. And we'll bring a lot of the players back, and we'll try it again. That was going to be a tough sell, and you've got a building to fill, right? So to have this new coach search and the way he talked about it, and the fieriness that he talked about yesterday with how he's going to address things this offseason, I think is exactly the thing he needed to say just to get the fan base re-engaged over the next couple of months, where they're going to need to sell season tickets.
You know, it almost sounded to me yesterday when he said he definitely wants someone with NHL experience, it almost sounded like he knows who he wants.
That's the takeaway that I had too. Yeah, three or four separate occasions when he talked about the coach, I had the thought of, oh, he knows who he's thinking about, and he thinks he's getting him. There was, we'll move as quickly as we can on it. Like, there's an it already. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That probably makes you think it's someone that's available right now. We've talked about Rod Brind'Amour, though, also, who he knows for 7 years of playing with him in Carolina. And now Brind'Amour's the Hurricanes coach. Contract's coming up. Lindy Ruff comes up, of course. But whoever it may be, it's someone with NHL experience, because he said that like three different times. It's someone with pedigree. And it's somebody. Like, he's got a name in mind. I wholeheartedly believe that.
Somebody with a little bite, too, is kind of what I got from yesterday. Because it sounded like he was a little turned off by some of the excuses during the season, or just maybe the attitude of, you know, well, young guys, they're developing. We're the youngest team in the league. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he's as over that as a lot of the fans are.
I think the phrase hold your feet to the fire was mentioned during that press conference yesterday, even if it wasn't him. I think maybe a reporter said it, and then he kind of agreed with it. I think he's looking for, from what he described, some sort of balance between the old school, you know, not quite bag skate the players, but hold them accountable when it's time to hold them accountable, and also have a relationship with the players. He mentioned a story how when he started in the league, like, you were afraid of the coach, and now you at least have a relationship with them. So I think it's maybe little bit closer to what he would have came into the league with and a little bit further away from what Don Granato was, but not, you know, I don't think they're hiring John Tortorella.
Well, so here, to that point, you maybe not afraid of the coach. Sure. Is there something, do you think, to be said for? You bring Lindy Ruffin here.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only person you could hire who could look down the bench. And not that he would.
Uh-huh.
But he could, if he wanted to, look down the bench when you're down 3-0 in the first period and say to every player, I'm more popular than anybody here. They're mad at you, not me.
You think it's a good thing, though?
No, I'm not saying he would ever say that, but just like having like that kind of feeling behind the bench might, I don't know, might be beneficial.
I wondered about that dynamic. How would the players who were pretty upset at the chance that only really happened one night last year, but they just did not like the way the fans sounded about Granato last year. They were almost actively willing to kind of fight against the fans on behalf of their head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that you need to play to this, but what's their feeling going to be if the coach is untouchable? Like the everyone loves the coach so much, you just know it's never going to be on him mm-hmm. because they love Lindy that much. And you never know. Like if Lindy came in here and it didn't go well, I'm not saying fans wouldn't get on him. They probably would. I don't know how that dynamic would go with the players. I think you could have some positives from it. Lindy, though, like he just did this. He just did this with the Devils last year. Not exactly what you're talking about with the popularity of the fan base, but the Devils were the second youngest team in the league last season and finished third in the NHL. The youngest team in the NHL is right here, right now, even still. And you've got a coach out there. Pretend he didn't coach the Sabres before, and I told you, hey, there's a guy available. You're looking for pedigree. He's fifth all-time in wins mm-hmm. in the NHL. And not 10 years ago, 1 year ago, he coached the second youngest team in the league to third place.
Sign me up.
Yeah. The last time the Sabres did a real coaching search was for Ralph Kruger.
Yep.
The options weren't that good right then.
No.
At that time.
No, they were not. I mean, they...
Is this a lot different right now?
I think it is. I think that was kind of a, hey, it's a last gasp with the Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart team. Like, this is kind of it. And if I'm thinking back to guys they interviewed then, maybe that was Rick Tocchet around there, or maybe that was even before... Just there wasn't big names. The word pedigree, I don't know if ever was even mentioned by Jason Bottrell in that coach search. And they pulled a guy that hadn't been in the hockey world for 3 years, which, what's the opposite of a victory lap? I'll take a loser lap on that because I love the Kruger idea when it happened. It did not work. I agree. I think right now you've got a group of players that I think are sellable to a proven coach that, oh, no, you could come here and win with these guys. They might be young, but there's enough talent and there's a lot of it that you can, if you come here and you hit the right notes as a coach, like it's going to work because you've got enough talent to work with.
It seems like the perfect setup because what does everybody say their favorite Sabres team is? If you're maybe age or a little older.
05-06.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
No?
Well, like, I was going to say people, maybe it's a 5 to 10 years older than me.
Okay.
The hardest working team in hockey.
Oh, sure.
How often does that get brought up? I mean, 97. We're almost, 25 years later or whatever it is, the hardest working team in hockey. We're set up to, you want this team that's good
mm-hmm.
to be the hardest working team in hockey too. And then you're set up for, you've got the skill now.
Yeah.
If you can match the intensity on the ice, I think you're set up for success here.
Yeah, and when people hear that, especially the comparing to Nolan teams like that, I don't think that has to mean you drive everybody through the glass with monster hits. You fight everybody, right? Because those teams would get into brawls,
mm-hmm.
On an every other night basis.
No, but you could spear someone in the gut every now and then.
There's that. And just maybe when it comes to habits or when it comes to dedication as a pro, I think Adams kind of hinted at some type of idea that he'd like his players to just be a little bit more into it. Tim Connolly was on a podcast recently where he talked about how Chris Drury showed up to the Sabres and he started going into the building like hours before he was supposed to do like medical treatment, like before he even needed to. And Connolly saw how he had, like how his habits were. And like, I'm just going to start following that guy around.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying they need to go trade for a Chris Drury. Be nice if that guy's available. But maybe you need that to happen internally, where like a little bit of a growing up this summer of, all right, guys, like it's good. Adams even said these words yesterday. It's go time. And I think the stuff you're talking about, that's the growth, right? The intensity on a night-to-night basis, the professionalism. And sure, if that also translates to being harder to play against in a physical way, and I would always throw speed into that too, I think that's the job of the next coach to get that out of them.
All right, let's see when it happens. Joe, thanks.
Thanks, Brian.
Joe DiBiase joining us.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.